Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. It's WTF Wednesday.
We've got a new thing at the office. It's called Feral Friday. Freaking love it. It should be really be Feisty Friday, because I get a little spicy by Friday, but we've decided to call it Feral Friday. So I love the WTF, what the fuck Wednesday.
Yeah, that was Tracy's fault.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. Yeah, I think that's awesome. I'm loving it. That just absolutely works perfectly.
Well, a new week. We're feeling good. You have your cup of tea. I don't have anything to drink. Why didn't I bring anything to drink today?
I got my cup of tea. I didn't get any water this morning. It's sitting there. And in my new lab space, it's actually not too far from me, but it's getting there.
All right. Well, you all know the drill. For those who are on the show and are veterans, we're breaking down the worst marketing and sales messages. A new concept, or a new format actually, is bringing in some key topics that we kind of noodle on after we do that breakdown. So last week we kind of opened up the...
Keep talking for a sec. The fucking Roomba started upstairs. Give me a sec. Keep going.
You're good. You're good. I'll just go through the rules here. Last week we talked about budgets, CISO priorities, the roadmap, C-level executive approaches to tech sales and marketing as well. We're going to noodle on that today as well. So we have some things to actually share. So it's the first time I think we're going to share our screen today. So we're going to test this out. For those who are new on the show also, feel free to ask us questions throughout the course of the hour. Feel free to come on live. If you want to come on live and ask a question at the end of the session, do ping us in the comments, and we'll actually bring you on to get feedback or ask questions. So with that, before we hop into the quick breakdown of one-liners, we'll go through one-liners again today because that was a hit last week. Most importantly, Chris, how are you?
Not too bad. As everybody can tell, new space behind me. New lab setup, new space, new location, all those kind of good things. So getting there. And one upside at the moment is Goofball.
Yeah. It's not a podcast if there are no puppies.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Not doing too badly. Getting back out on the bike still, which is good.
Cool.
Weight's still coming off and all that kind of good silliness. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Some craziness going on work-wise at the moment. Some changes and some stuff happening that'll come up probably next week or two. So we'll see where all that goes and how that all shakes out.
Shall we expect a LinkedIn post or anything we can?
Oh, yeah. There'll be a believe me, there will be a LinkedIn post on this little one. Sweet. But we'll see. I won't do anything until, you know, we get the official all clear, all that kind of good stupidity.
Well, hopefully mostly good things, nothing terrible.
You know, it's like anything. He says he drops the dog's neck somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like anything. It's, if nothing else, life is good at throwing up a fair share of its challenges. Mm-hmm.
Do I know that?
Yeah. You got this. You got the shenanigans going on as well.
Yeah. But fortunately, this community has been super, super awesome. For those of you who don't know, it's been a hard month for me health-wise, mentally, what with the relocation, what with the market and running a business and raising a child and making wives happy. So yes, it's been a challenging time for me, but thanks to the community for chipping in and empowering me. So I love this community. This is why I come on every day. All right, let's dig in. Any new WTF moments in the past week in the spam inbox, in LinkedIn, on phone calls?
Ironically, I didn't bring LinkedIn up. I need to, don't I? Because LinkedIn's another one.
Talk LinkedIn for a while. I mean, here and there we bring up LinkedIn.
Talked about LinkedIn for a little while. Let's talk about LinkedIn for a second. Let's go to the messages. Dear. Oh, apparently Dark Trace is still a stupidity again. Bless him. You know, it keeps going. I think that's where it's just...
Anything leading up to Black Hat is the question.
Oh my gosh, it's like ever... Okay, so here's... Actually, you know what? Here's the biggest one. Here's one that I'm like, you gotta be flipping kidding me. Hi, Chris. And this has got several things in it at once. Hi, Chris. Thanks for connecting. And I'm like, uh-oh, who the hell did I just connect to? Because I will connect to people. I will connect to people sometimes without having all the information to hand. Our executive leadership has already identified a mutual overlap in services with Boom Supersonic. Alarm bells going off in the background. Oh, gods, what am I about to face? As we're speaking with a few big players in your space already named, and then he names up two of the other, two very big agencies, you know, today, leading the R&D teams rely on our platform to analyze and track over 500 million data points. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about aside from it. So I basically ended up sending them the read the fucking manual post, and then they sent me another one back as well, which is just. And then he asks me about aliens now, and I'm like, what? Oh, kid you not. Yeah, so, I got a message back from him, but it looks like this morning, because anything of this stupid shit goes straight into other, and I look at it once in a blue, kind of like the spam folder.
Yeah.
And now I get one. Well done, sir. I must admit I jumped the gun here. No shit, Sherlock. I'm most interested in aviation defense because of the latest whistleblowers' claims of government manufacturing hoarding alien technology. I'm like, oh gosh. So we went from my leadership actually really wants to talk to you to alien conspiracy theory in two messages.
Man.
Yeah. I think I'm going to start a rumor that, you know, Boom Supersonic is using alien technology to power its engines. I think I need to start that one somewhere just for shits and giggles, just to, you know, set the cat among the pigeons for the heck of it, because apparently I attract all of this. So we had that one. We definitely had... we actually had to give somebody some credit. They actually took a couple of people have actually taken the LinkedIn post a little more seriously. I am definitely getting a lot of the hey, are you going to be a Black Hat? Had them now for the last several weeks. Hey, are you going to be a Black Hat? Would love to catch up or would love to invite you to our dinner or our meeting or this. What I am seeing a lot of, and actually there was a post that was highlighted in LinkedIn, and I got another one of them in today. It was like, hey, we are. I don't know what the hell it was. It was some like, hey, we're doing a, you know, we'll be a Black Hat if you're there. We're hosting a Thursday night dinner and seafood and the Friday morning something or other. There's definitely a lot of companies that are playing the, hey, we'll bring you along for dinner if we can get, you know, some of your time. And again, I actually, one of them, I end up sending them the post, which I very carefully point out the fact that I hate any of that as well. I hate going through the whole bribery channel.
Yeah.
I've made it very, very clear numerous times that I'm like, hey, at the worst case or best case scenario, I'll sit down with you for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Somebody else hit me up on LinkedIn. No, not on LinkedIn, on email. And yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was definitely another one of those, hey, you know, I'm happy to catch up, but I think you need to realize that it's going to be a cup of tea or a cup of coffee only. Because
right. It's a busy time. It's a busy time.
Well, it's not just a busy time. Oh, there we go. Okay, so this isn't. Yeah, this was the one. It was to their credit. We'll see if they listen or not. It'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, I noticed your company has initiatives around moving more data to the cloud. And so my first one back was, where did you see the indications from your initial email? And apparently he was watching another conference series where, you know, we're talking about how much data as an avionics company we will generate. Mm. So they basically made the leap of faith that data equals cloud. And so then it was like, hey, we could do, then I get these, hey, we'd love to do lunch. We could do this steakhouse. We can do dinner. We could do this steakhouse. We could do this. I'm like, quit it.
Yeah.
At most, you're going to get 30 minutes out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and at most, you're going to get 30 minutes and a cup of tea or a cup of coffee out of me.
And that's if they break through some kind of initial.
Yeah. And it comes down to something else we'll talk about in a minute, which is, you know, I put a LinkedIn post out the other day about the brain. And I was kind of fairly blunt about it. You know, it's my responsibility is to my organization. Yes, I also look to see what connections I can make. I look to see from my standpoint what's interesting out there as well. And it's a balance. It's Merlin Ventures were just out in Colorado for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And what they ended up doing is they brought a bunch of their folks out. They brought some of their portfolio early mid-stage companies out and got a whole bunch of CISOs. They actually flew a lot of people into Colorado. And I was local. And it was interesting. It was very good because out of there, you know, I probably sat down. We did speed dating Sunday night, which was actually really useful. And probably talked with, say, a dozen companies. And of those dozen companies I talked with, there's probably about three, maybe four I actually want to have another conversation with. The rest of them, wrong time, wrong location, just wrong space. And we'll go into the reasons why and wherefores in a minute. But then Merlin took people out Monday. They took them fishing. They took them hiking Monday night dinner. And I ended up joining them for dinner on Monday night. But because, again, I wanted to catch up with some of my peers, but I also wanted to listen to the companies. And then Tuesday went to Hell in a Handbasket. That profile was really, really nice because the speed dating was actually rather fantastic because we spent 15 minutes at each table and we rotated around as CISOs, we rotated around the tables and the two like portfolio companies stayed at the table. So we sat down with this table for 15 minutes and each portfolio company got 7 minutes. Now they'd been coached on how to do it properly. Merlin actually did a really nice job on it, but they didn't coach properly, but unfortunately not all of them listened to it. So that was a very, very good, simple indicator as to, hey, I know you've been coached 30-second, 1-minute elevator pitch, Q&A for 3 to 5 minutes, conclusion for a minute or two. You know, those are simple rules to apply by. Some of them just didn't listen. So I'm like, all right, if you can't listen to the very people that have got a funding initiative and have actually helped you get that PS, you probably also paid God knows how much for that seat at the table. If you can't listen to those simple rules, then there's no way I'm going to want to work with you because you're not going to listen to what I need. Those that listened got my attention because I'm like, all right, I hear what he's saying. You listen to Q&A and we're very respective of the time. So it was, you know, it was a simple dynamic. It was a very, very easy one to try to do. And there are three or four companies there that I'll actually want to talk. Some of them in like data space. Some of them in the browser space and some other bits and pieces. Some we are obviously with suppliers and supply chain going through a whole bunch of discussions on how we deal with that one. So there's some good conversations in there. But so many things are black hat. And let's face it, I'm pretty strong-minded. I know what I'm doing with black hat. I've got the Tinkerer's stuff I'm doing. We've got the whiskey tasting one evening. I'm going to be helping you out or hanging out with you on your part of the Audience First conference. And then I'll probably spend some of Friday at DEF CON, and then I'm probably going to drive back Friday night and then finish off Saturday morning. If I drive, if I fly, different conversation.
At what point, so I want to take it back a little bit before Black Hat. At what point do you start building your
schedule,
itinerary? Yeah. Your schedule for Black Hat. So when does it start coming to fruition?
Yeah. You know, ironically, funnily enough, kind of about now. So I mean, obviously I have the date set months in advance because of my schedule. I mean, I'm now booking out through March, April next year.
Right.
For just conferences and travel and stuff like this. And when people get hold of me and say, hey, we'd love you to come to a conference in September. I'm like, motherfucker, no chance in hell. you're giving me 2 months notice and there's just no chance. I mean, I literally, my calendar is starting to book out for second quarter 2024. And so I'm putting time, but for Black Hat, so I put the initial timelines on there months in advance. Then what I do, like perfect example, like the Audience First stuff, I'm like, all right, I see that in here. That for me is labeled across Tuesday, Wednesday, and some of Thursday, but I'll be doing some of it. Then with the Tinkerers, for me, the Tinkerers are very, very key for me. And so obviously the whiskey thing for Tinkerers is key. So then that's logged in for there as well. So that's in there. Some of the Tinkerers conference stuff is in there as well, because there's some interesting stuff typically in there as well as other things. so far, famous last words, like Monday night, Tuesday night, and I can't remember what night we're doing Tinkerer's Drinks. I think it's Thursday night, because pool party for B-sides will be Wednesday night. So I think it's Thursday night. So Monday, Tuesday night, and Friday night are currently open. I actually don't have any plans as evening now. I've got plenty of options, but I don't have any plans yet.
Mm-hmm.
IO Active is doing something. I might go hang out with them for a bit because it's IO Active and they're good people, and I can actually catch up with some of the leadership and talk about research, because obviously being an avionics company now, they have a healthy set of knowledge books, shall we say, in that space that I kind of want to tap into now that I'm in there officially.
Mm-hmm. I heard something interesting from another CISO, and this could vary between organizations and teams, so on and so forth. Where he said, well, my boss, my CIO, says that I'm traveling too much for conferences. I can't get, you know, approval to fly out to Black Hat on the company's budget.
Yep. This is on my dime.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing all this on my dime. So, and I think it's part of it's a sign of the economy.
Yeah.
You know, the economy's rough at the moment. Absolutely no two ways about it. And, you know, again, I look at Boom, we are very fortunate that we have a ton of interest in the aviation space and what we're doing and how we're doing it, but we don't have planes in the air. We're not generating revenue from that side of it. So we have to be very, very careful. And my, you know, the CFO, my boss, looks at me and goes, hey, you know, rightly so. Hey, you're doing a lot of conferences. I'm seeing value because he sees what we're bringing in. He's like, but we are being very, very careful. Now, for me, I've done DEF CON for more years than I care to think of, let's face it. And most of the time, I've typically paid for it. I mean, it is what it is. Most of the time, I've run my own companies where we've paid for it. Sometimes I'm just doing it on my own dime. I budget accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, for me, it's valuable. Now, whether I go do the halls at Black Hat, probably not. Unless somebody has like an expo pass, you and I were talking about, unless somebody's got like an expo pass that doesn't tie me in, I might not even bother walking the halls, but I will come in for Monday. I've got some stuff going on. You're doing your audience first thing Tuesday through Thursday. B-Sides is obviously on. I want to volunteer for B-Sides. I just don't know if I'm going to have enough time with everything else going on as well. So I'm going to be very careful on that one.
I imagine that could be a good opportunity for some vendors to establish a relationship well in advance and maybe even partner with you and do something efficient for the community at an event and bring you out on their dime.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. So, I mean, perfect example, AppSec. So I'm actually doing a couple of talks. I'm probably talking at the AppSec Village at DEF CON.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a very, very good mutual friend of all of ours said, hey, they have money and they could pay for you, but it's a village.
Yeah.
I actually don't feel comfortable taking money from a village to fly me out for something I'm probably already going to be out for. Now, bottle of whiskey or something, won't turn that down.
Mm-hmm.
I might also be talking to the aviation one. I think they've still got to figure their shit out. Whether I think I'm doing a fireside at the aviation one, which would be fantastic. I think they still need to cover a few hurdles to make sure I don't bruise too many other aviation people's egos on that one. But I think I'll be there as well. And again, they probably have something if I really wanted to go, hey, look, I need something. But I would rather, AppSec Village, perfect example, I'd rather save that money for somebody who needs it. I'm very fortunate. I get pretty well taken care of as a CISO.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy money, because I'm actually a CISO of a pre-revenue company. So there's a balance, but I can afford with the Tinkerers. I'm staying at the Tinkerer house. I was going to do my own house, but a lot of the people at Boom and some other folks kind of said, oh, I can't make it now. So I'm like, screw it, I'm not even going to bother doing my own house anymore this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm staying at the Tinkerer's house. So like my accommodation is going to be, say, $500 or $600 for the entire time I'm out there. If I drive out there, it's petrol and that's it. If I fly out, it's a return flight at this exact moment in time, Monday through Friday, is $250 plus probably another $100 for, you know, luggage excess. So I can do it on the cheap, let's face it. I'd rather save that money for somebody else. So I think the other problem I have as well is I'm not good at asking for money. I'm pretty terrible at it. I mean, you know this, for crying out loud. I'm pretty terrible at it. So that makes life a little more interesting.
So you have some slots open for 30 minutes of tea.
Yeah.
What would get you to take 30 minutes of tea at Black Hat? What kind of approach? What kind of
first and foremost hook? Convenience. First and foremost, let's just start with the easy one, convenience. Black Hat DEF CON B-Sides is a shit show.
Yeah.
When it comes to bouncing around between hotels, especially DEF CON these days. DEF CON is, what, 3-4 different bloody hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the same areas. You're out in the midday sun, and I crisp in 2 seconds flat. Let's face it. So if I got to walk between hotels for 30-minute meetings, that's not something I want to do. If I have to go off the strip and go fucking around for a while, not something I'm going to do. Same thing with RSA. It's like, hey, we're doing something 10 minutes away. Like, assholes, that's 10, 15 minutes walking away, and I'm already in the middle of doing 10 other things.
Yeah.
You and I ran into that last year. Do you remember this last year? I mean, you and I were meant to catch up for a podcast, and because other people were running around, it screwed your schedule up. Your schedule impacted my schedule, and all of a sudden, we just missed each other completely.
Chris, I don't want to talk about it.
But you know what I mean? I'm picking on that one because that's very personal to us.
Exactly.
But you now extrapolate that between 4 different hotels, not just Moscone, East, West, and mm-hmm. North, between 4 different hotels, between all the different floors and all the other stupid shit that's going on, and literally 3 major conferences going on at the same time. You know,
you've
got Black Hat, you've got B-Sides, which is now becoming, which has become over the years a major conference, mm-hmm. and you've got DEF CON. I mean, and then inside each one of those, you've got, especially inside DEF CON, I mean, you've got like a plethora of like sub-villages and all sorts of other crazy shit going on. So even knowing where to go when you get there is a challenge. So for me, it's convenience.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, we'd love to have a conversation with you. And I think I save time for spur of the moment things.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's an interesting one as well, because, you know, people are like, oh, I hit you up on LinkedIn. I'm like, I don't have LinkedIn on my telephone.
Yeah.
You know, the only communication I have on my telephone is text message and WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have my phone number, there's probably a good reason for it, or I haven't decided I trust you enough to give you my phone number. And so if you hit me up on LinkedIn, like, hey, you got 30 minutes now, I'm like, I won't see it until the night when I try to catch up on things. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Kristen's right. I mean, we're going to need a bloody map for what's going on and where it is. So convenience is number one. Let's start with the easy one. Convenience is number one. Number two, quite honestly, a couple of the folks that were out with Merlin, mm-hmm. I actually going to see if I can catch up with a Black Hat, because I didn't have enough time. Tuesday went to Hell in the Handbasket, and I just didn't have enough time to catch up with the people I wanted to. So there's some folks in there I want to catch up with. As Boom from Boom standpoint, you know, again, I know what I'm working on for 2023 and for a chunk of 2024. So anything that's in there that is of interest that I don't have covered is stuff I want to have conversations on.
Right. Which takes us, this is a beautiful mm-hmm. segue to our next topic of conversation, priorities, roadmap. And last week we talked about bringing up an example of how an organization, here we anonymized it to Acme Corp,
mm-hmm.
Maps the roadmap to the NIST framework. Do you wanna tighten that up for me a little bit?
Bringing it up. Let's see if we can get this thing up and running.
All right, here we go.
So, and this is what a lot of us, it's going to be small, but it is what it is. Y'all can figure this shit out. Expand it on your screen, get a bigger screen. So this is probably a good way to help people understand as a CISO, as somebody inside an organization. And I picked on this one rather than picking on somebody's tool. Mm-hmm. Because we use, you know, we have an audit, a governance risk and compliance audit tool inside Boom. But I'm not going to bring that up because I'm not going to give them airspace, because they drive me fucking nuts anyway. And I don't like the fact it doesn't do what I want it to do. So, being a curmudgeon, I am going back to my spreadsheets, because this is basically what I've been talking to the board about. Mm-hmm. So when I started at Boom, I turned around, or let's take Boom out of it. When I started at Acme Corporation, as a CISO or as somebody in a leadership position, you got to understand what you're walking into. Now, if nobody hands you this, you got to figure this out for yourself. Now, the nice thing about this one, and I will give all credit on this one to John at johnmassarini.com. So John is absolutely rather fantastic. Put this together from, like, goodness knows how many of us that have put a whole bunch of this craziness together. John consolidated it all and said, hey, let's make a thing. So this is the summary. And what you end up doing is you fill out this scorecard. So this, mm-hmm. again, is for Acme Corp. So you go through this cybersecurity framework. Is pretty simple. You talk about asset management, you know, physical devices within the organization. Now you talk about them. Where's the policy? Where's the practice maturity? Organization communications and data flows are mapped. Well, as far as Acme goes, their policy says you map them, but their practice says, not so much as well it goes. Now, these are not arbitrary numbers. So if you go back to the maturity levels, level 3 is defined. So I got my shit together and my outer scope is maybe 5 to 10%. When it comes to 1.5, it's a little bit between shit doesn't even exist and we're kind of getting there. So you can run through this really, really quickly. You can also pay through the nose for some of the big audit companies to come in and do this for you, and you'll pay tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to do this, or you can pay for specialist companies to come in and spend tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this, mm-hmm. or you can talk very nicely with John and you can actually download this stuff online and you can run through it yourself in the best part of maybe a day or two. In my case, I was very fortunate when I walked into Acme Corporation because I was already introduced to leadership within legal and compliance, leadership within IT, leadership within development. And you can start to ask all the awkward questions. And it goes through, let's just go down another one. Let's go to data security. Adequate capacity to ensure availability is maintained. Well, it doesn't have to be exact. It's just got to be a rough number. So my rough number on policy maturity is, hey, we kind of got our shit together at Acme Corp. My rough number on practice is, we've got some work to do. Policy says what we're doing. Practice says a little bit more work. So you put all this together, and you end up with a wonderful spider diagram. But you also end up with this whole like target score stuff over here. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, when I report into Acme Corporation's board of directors or advisory board or whoever you're reporting into, they're going to want to know, well, where are we and where do we need to be, want to be, have to be based off of our business model and everything else? And you go back to your maturity levels and you're like, well, dear board, you are, in this case, you know, let's just say generally, where is Acme Corporation? Well, Acme Corporation policies is about a 2, practices a 1.5. So their practice is between shit doesn't exist and kind of ad hoc informally. Policy is a little bit better. Now, where do they want to be? Well, everybody probably wants to be at least defined. A lot of companies want to be managed. Those that are going for the gold star and those that maybe want to be the special snowflakes are optimized. Most organizations, it's nice to get them to a 3. It'd be really good to get them to a 4, but let's at least aim for a standard solid 3. Mm-hmm. So now what you can do on all of these is go, hey, asset management is at a 2 and a 1.5. So we need to focus on asset management. So you come across to this bit and you go, let's see. Now this, you know, we started Acme Talk back in, you know, 2022. So we turned around and said, hey, just as I say online, what's the first thing you need to do? Figure out where all your shit is. Mm-hmm. There's figuring out where my shit is. I'm going to take a year to figure out where all my shit is in the physical and the digital realm. Then when I figured out where it all is, now we're going to figure out what to do about it. And now we also need to identify it. Now we need to do some awareness training, which, by the way, if you notice, goes the whole way across. So you very quickly build up a map of what it takes to take that score from maybe a 2 to a 3. And you build it up over a 3, 6, 9, or 12 month period of time. Because now you've got to report out to the board and say, hey, here's where we were, what my target score is going to be, and what my target score ended up being. Because you can't just go to the board and say, hey, this is what I want to do. And they're like, okay, off you go. They're going to want to know all the way along the way. So as far as Acme Corporation is concerned, you walk in with a plan and they go, all right, let's keep talking about the plan. You build the plan and then you put the plan into action.
Right.
And the plan into action means let's take where we're at now. So we are, let's just say Q3 2023. Well, in theory, I should have figured out where my assets were. I still need to figure out identifying the business side of the world on these ones. I still need to understand governance. Well, hopefully I've spent a year doing that. So now it's maturing my governance, which means I have something in place. I still need to look at risk management strategies. But the stuff I'm starting now is let's look at maintenance on the protect and maintenance side of the world. Let's also start looking at improvements on response capabilities. Let's start looking at communication capabilities on recovery. I've also early stages, shall we say, in some of the data security side of it and relatively early stages in risk management strategies. So those are four or five categories that I'm either early stages or just starting on. Now, what policies, procedures, and technology will help me get there? So that's my focus basically for the next quarter or two.
What, this is fabulous, by the way. This is gold for anyone listening, like really hone into this. But well, I know that there are a lot of different frameworks.
Yes.
As a marketer or a salesperson,
yep,
how would one approach you or another CISO to understand which framework they're following? Now it could be vertical, you know,
so verticals work perfectly. So perfect example, mm-hmm, if you're approaching somebody in retail, the chances are they're having to follow a PCI DSS. If you're approaching somebody in healthcare, it's HIPAA. If you're approaching somebody in the government space, it's going to be a DoD standard or a FedRAMP standard or a CMMC standard.
Right.
So there are some very easy de factos. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some simple stuff that you know people are going to have to follow, must follow, need to follow, should follow.
But how do you kind of divulge the information? Like, how do you understand, or how do you ask? Just simple question. How do you ask? Okay, you're following this framework. Is that's an assumption? Are you following this framework? Where are you? Like, what are the questions one should ask to pair to research where their maturity level and also pair their maturity to your maturity? And I get into this, by the way, on the CISO.
Shameless plug. So first and foremost, let's start with the easy one. Don't assume, because that makes an ass out of both of us.
Right.
Primarily you, because I'm going to be an ass back to you.
Yeah.
So never assume. April, I said at the very beginning of it that the template's right there. I even put it on the introduction page where it was and how to find it.
We'll redirect people.
We'll make the redirect on that one, yeah. So, yes, go back to the question. Sorry, I squirreled.
The question is, how do you know, what are the questions a salesperson or a marketer should ask to understand what framework you're using and how to understand where you are in the maturity matrix, right? Which would then open up more questions to roadmap, priorities.
I think it's a knife edge, because you definitely don't want to assume.
Mm-hmm.
If you come at me and say, hey, you know, you're working in the aviation space, dear Acme Corporation, you're working in the aviation space, I'm going to assume you have to be FedRAMP, I'm going to assume you have to be this, that's probably a bit of a wrong thing to approach it with. I think I would come at it and go, hey, Chris, you know, you're in the aviation space. Logic would assume you have to be adhering to certain rules and regulations, compliance frameworks. First off, I'm sorry you have to do this. We can grab a cup of tea, coffee, and whiskey to help you through it. Secondly, how's it going? You know, to some degree, how's it going?
Yeah.
And are you willing to share which ones you're adhering to? I think that could be part of it. And I'm brainstorming as I go through. I think, you know, not making an assumption. Yeah. And just saying, hey, you know, first and foremost, sorry you have to go through it. Hope your governance, risk, and compliance people and team are doing good and would love to share a coffee with them one day. But secondly, hey, look, we have a tool, technology, or a process that helps mature some of the areas in many of the frameworks. Don't come at me and say, hey, I can solve your problems, I can do this. But come at me and say, hey, look, you know, if you have a... We're going through some browser conversations. If you have a browser that takes over like standard Chrome and gives me a better, more efficient browser, come at me and say, hey, look, you know, we've built this out. And very, very shortly, we've built this out to address some of the compliance and regulatory areas that we are seeing throughout the industry. You're obviously in the aviation space. We'll make an assumption that you have to adhere to some of this compliance and regulatory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And our product works within the protect, detect, and respond focus areas of many of the compliance and regulatory pieces. we help you mature.
Mm-hmm.
We help you better understand, better do continuous monitoring, better do analysis, better do mitigation. So you can pull out some of the words, even from NIST's framework, you can pull out some of those words and go, this is where we help. You know, again, it's not a we solve. It's not, I fucking hate absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
I have absolute hatred for absolutes.
I remember.
Yeah, sorry. But it's true. I mean, because nothing you do is going to save my ass. You will always help me. And the maturity thing is a perfect example of this. If you basically come in and you give me a solution for, let's just say in detect. So let's go back to our browser. If you're coming in with a browser and you're able to help with anomalies and events and a detection process, congratulations, you've moved me, let's say, you've moved me from maybe a repeatable to a managed. So you've moved me from a level 2 to a level 4. You haven't solved my problem.
Yeah.
You haven't made me compliant.
Yeah.
What you have done is you have helped move the needle on my compliance and regulation program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and maybe that's a good way of looking. It's like, look, what we have can help in certain areas. It can help move the needle.
Beautifully said.
I'm getting fucking emails saying, I can help you move the needle. I'm going to hunt people down and taser them. But that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
You are helping people move the needle
mm-hmm.
in their compliance and regulation programs. If you are, Chris, if you're adhering to NIST cybersecurity framework, we typically see improvements in the protect and detect areas. Hey, Chris, if you're working in PCI DSS, we typically see improvements in section 8 and sections 11 and sections 5. Mm-hmm. If you're working in the HIPAA framework, you know, then we typically see improvements in this, and this area. So to me, and it's the same thing, if you use MITRE attack framework is a perfect example. I mean, the folks there have put so much fucking effort into that, it's ridiculous. And so again, if I'm coming at you, let's say with an endpoint solution, you know, if I come at you with an endpoint solution, I can come at you and say, hey, look, our role as being part of the endpoint is understanding this vertical, and this vertical, and therefore we provide you better insights into these three or four verticals to enable or facilitate you within the MITRE framework to get better understanding of, you know, the exfil cycle, this side or this side, you know. So
that answers some of these questions here, which is great. And this really resonates with me because one thing that Dimitri told me when we were working together on the essentials course and the methodology course for the CISO Valley Distillery is he told me, it's not about getting to five. It's about maintaining progress.
Yeah.
It's moving the needle. That to me blew my mind this year. That's the one insight that I think to me was.
Yeah. Nobody, I don't want, and so many companies, the amount of, so here's how you look at it. There's a finite amount of money I have to play with. I don't need, want, or have a desire to have much of my stuff at five. There are some bits which have to be near as damaged to close to that because of what they are.
Right.
But so much of it, quite honestly, is basically defined. And you read defined as far as process. A formal process exists and is documented. Evidence can be provided for activities less than 10% exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
If you get your company to a point where you have less than 10% exceptions, you are kicking ass.
That's good.
And I think that's what it is. Now, if you get to manage, you're up on stage talking about how you got there. And I think that's the big thing on this one. It's and exactly to your point. Not many companies need to be out of five or even really be aspiring to five, or maybe only parts of the company. So for us, let's say, and if I'm going back to my Acme Corporation rather than Boom, if I go to my Acme Corporation, let's say I've got intellectual property that we'll go back to my alien. I've ripped off some alien technology. I'm sitting in the back door. So therefore, you know, I need to protect that stuff and not let people know that I've got alien technology. For those of you joining late, I had an inbound message on LinkedIn that I responded to with one of my read the fucking manual things. And they came back to me and wanted to talk about alien technology. So that was an interesting conversation. One that I hope to not repeat.
So we're adding on alien merch to branded taser merch
Oh my gosh, we need
get me arrested,
alien tasers. But... we just do alien tasers and be done with green slimy alien tasers. But yeah, you know, that part of my business needs to be maybe at a 4.5 to a 5 and continually getting there. Now, some of the rest of my business maybe needs to just be at a 3. The whole like goal should be to get the entire organization to a 3. If you get everything defined, you're kicking ass. It's as simple as that.
Right. Understanding your maturity is a key element to selling to you, marketing to you, creating value to you.
Logan, bastard. Yeah, if that gets across the internet, we are going to have a conversation. I will find you.
I was going to say, we got to be careful what we say here because, you know, things can be taken out of context.
I say it in jest, but unfortunately, you'll have to be a little careful on that one. So yeah, do me a favor. Just hold that between those of us that are on the podcast. Yes, we are. As far as I know, we're not using alien technology. If I did know, I wouldn't tell you. And if I didn't know, it's probably best anyway. Let's face it. This is me. I'd probably be sitting there in the lab with a fucking screwdriver trying to take it to pieces.
A lot of money to watch that. Independence Day 3.
You know, let's bring this back up again. And I think, let me just bring it back up again for a second. Right. I think it's useful. Let me share it for a second. So again, if you go back to the, oh no, Logan, you're fine. Don't worry. No apology necessary. You're absolutely aligned. You're absolutely no issues at all. If you take a look, and again, this is NIST cybersecurity framework. And the irony of it is a lot of frameworks have a basis in this.
Mm-hmm.
People just decide they like their own fiefdoms or fiefdoms and want to build their own, which drives me nuts. Every organization I've gone into, I've tried to bring a level of this into it because it's just simple, easy, and makes a lot of sense for so many people. If you bring this up, you have the very simple areas: identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. So those are 5 areas. And I think for many of us at the CISO level, to a couple of conversations and those that are in here, the very, very first thing we should ever be doing is figuring out what the hell we have. So that's that identify. If your product comes in and helps me move the needle on identification at either a policy or a practice standpoint, that should literally be in the first sentence. Literally in the first sentence. I mean, if you've got something that directly, don't be an asshole about it, but if you've got something directly that says, hey, we have governance, risk, and compliance platform. We have an assessment platform. We have a counting the amount of desktops platform. We have something that goes out and scans every single thing at a layer one on the bloody network and counts it platform. That to me is part of identify. That to me is like, hey, you are helping me understand asset management. You're helping me understand risk management and risk management strategy. If you have a product that hits me on supply chain, again, that's identifying. Now you've got supply chain risk management. So just tying into words that CISOs are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You come to me and say, hey, look, Chris, you're in the aviation space. Chances are you've probably got some governance, risk, and compliance frameworks you have to adhere to. Chances are you've been there a year and a half. You're working your way through the identify and protect and detect side of the world. Here's what we have. Here's where it fits in. Here's how it helps move the needle. You up for a 30-minute conversation with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee at your convenience. Something along those lines is likely to get my attention way more than 90% of the other crap out there.
Jason is asking a good question, and I imagine that this question comes up later in the conversation after you hit the question and the content that you just proposed here. But moving the needle, progress maintenance.
It's not their job to give me the data. I'll challenge this one. So I think moving the needle is the metric that we use for ROI. Does this need to translate to dollars to ROI? See, this is where it gets difficult. It shouldn't get difficult. It's not your job to figure that shit out. It's my job.
If they help you to figure it out, though, isn't that
great? Then help me figure it out. But quite honestly, I don't look at money to ROI.
Okay.
I don't look at it that way. I look at money to probability. I look at how much money am I spending? How much am I looking at the NIST cybersecurity framework? What areas will that product actually help me? Go back to the browser. So from my standpoint, if I bring in a protected browser, it will help me with supply chain risk management. It will help me with probably identity management, authentication, access control. It'll help me with data security. It'll help me with maintenance. It'll help me with anomalies and events, security, continuous monitoring, detection process. It'll help me with analysis, mitigation. It'll help me with improvements. So it'll help me across 7 or 8 domains. Now that's for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't something that goes in that first. If you try putting all that shit in that first email, I'm not even going to read the damn thing. That's after that conversation goes, when we sit down and your presentation and your conversation with me goes, here are the areas typically in a NIST cybersecurity framework or a PCI or a DSS framework or even a CMMC framework, we see progress. We don't solve. We don't figure all this shit out for you. We don't get you to a 5. We see progress. Because again, there are interdependencies. It's all very old putting a secure browser, but if you put a secure browser on a machine that's 5 years old, I still basically have response and recover issues that I have to go through. If I put a browser, let's say, on a non-standard machine, then I have other things. I have maintenance issues to worry about. So they're all interdependencies. You don't solve things. You help me, as I said, move the needle. You help me identify where I reduce my risks, where I reduce my probabilities of an incident, or where I increase my chances of recovery.
Beautifully. Beautifully said. Beautiful. All right. We're already at 46 minutes. Phew.
So Jason, we have a GRC platform. So first and foremost, if that turned up, I'd probably growl for 2 things. One, get rid of the acronym. First and foremost, get rid of the acronym. We don't have a GRC platform. We have a platform that supports governance, risk, and compliance that identifies assets management. No, you don't. You don't identify. You help me identify assets within my organization. You don't identify all the assets. You help me identify the assets. Hope that helps. Because again, you'll never identify everything, because my network is at Acme Corporation, a pain in the ass. You're not going to come in there and wave a magic fucking wand. It's going to take time and effort, and you'll help me. So that's, yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we just get him on?
Yeah. Jason.
Get your ass on the show.
Yeah. I'm pinging Jason here because he's asking some great questions here. Jason, look out for a message from me.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I'm up for this conversation. I think probably a lot of other people would be on the show as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jason, you're going to come on. Let's see. Brave Jason. Here we go. We sent Jason a link. I'm going to have the ROI discussion now. The dollar
sign. Is anybody else getting emails telling me I can buy trees for my company?
What's that about?
Would I like to finance reforestation and give trees to my employees or clients? I don't know. Only if I knew the trees were actually getting purchased, maybe.
All right. I don't know. Hopefully Jason will come on in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. No problem. Yeah. I'll keep talking.
We also talked about in our prep for this conversation, the C-level approach or the technical folks approach to sales and marketing, right? We wanted to tickle that a little bit today, and we can always talk about it next week.
Run that by me again, because I just got another stupid message that I'm about to yell at.
We talked about, by the way, we could do live yelling if you want. That's super, super compelling to me.
Oh my gosh, I hate people sometimes. I really do.
In our prep before this call, we talked about noodling on the topic of the C-level, the technical folks' approach to sales and marketing. And we talked about it a little bit last week, but obviously we can save this also for next week. But we can kind of open it up a little bit as a teaser. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Are you on about from like my, I need 5 minutes. Jason, are you still in your pajamas? I think we're going to be done in 5 minutes. Maybe we'll get him on next time. Yeah, we'll get him on. Jason, we'll do it next time. Let's just save the grief and hassle. Are you on about it from like my side? In other words, what can we do better? You know what I would love, and this is kind of why I put those. So on LinkedIn, I'm going to do them. I'm going to try do them on a weekly, bi-weekly basis, the CISO brain thing. We need, you know, ironically, I put that stuff out there and a lot of people are like, holy smoke, this is great. This is gold, you know, whatever. We as the CISO community need more consistent feedback. Mm. We need to give more consistent feedback. Yeah, dark roast coffee. No, tea for crying out loud, you bunch of damn colonials. No, we need to give more consistent feedback. And I think that's the big one for me is, you know, I try. That's why I literally have three posts. I've got the read the fucking manual one. I've got the generic outreach. And I've got the conferences mm-hmm. post. And that I refer to pretty regularly. And there's probably others out there. And I think as I do the CISO brain, I'll probably put more out there. And we'll probably talk about them a little bit mm-hmm. more as well. But I think as a CISO community, our reach back to vendors has to be consistent because it's not. You know, I'll tell a vendor, stop sending me this shit. Somebody's going to be like, oh, good, free shit. Somebody else is going to be like, we'll ignore them. And somebody else will take the free shit and then blast mm-hmm. them. And I'm like, there's no consistency. There's no consistency. It's like door-to-door sales. Having done door-to-door sales a number of times in my life, I used to get consistent. You know, my approach would be the same until I went to a different area. Then my approach would change. And so you can then start to measure consistent feedback. But if your feedback is all over the charts, you have no easy way of identifying how to actually outreach effectively. You know, we talked about it a little bit before, which is you still got CISOs, which are, as nice as I can put it, on the take. You have too many of them, which will still respond to a $20 or a $50 gift card. That shit to me needs to disappear yesterday. Mm-hmm. So there are still too many on leadership level that are still on the take, the me mentality. So need to be consistent. I think our feedback needs to be consistent. In other words, hey, generic outreach goes away. I would love to actually make four paragraphs. There's the response paragraph for you sent me a generic outreach and I know it's generic because I can read the fucking AI in it. There's the you did no fucking research out response. There's the holy crap, I don't need air conditioned units for my healthcare facility because I'm a fucking CISO of an avionics company. And then there's probably a couple of other generic outreaches that we literally need to send back to make people. So rather than getting it back from one or two of us, they get 100 or 1,000.
That's not a bad idea. They have the playbooks for SDRs.
Yeah. Well, then we need the CISO playbook. The CISO response playbook.
It's not a bad idea.
All right. Well, let's make it happen. There you go. Audience first branded CISO response playbook.
Oh gosh, that would be so hilarious.
Do it. I'll build it with you. I'm pretty damn sure we can get a few of us to help build it with you. I mean, we can brainstorm it out in Vegas. Let's just take maybe an hour in Vegas.
I mean, but my question is, and I mean, wow, this is going to be a loaded question, which by the way, happy to continue next week, is will CISOs accept that feedback? Like, you need to give the feedback, you also need to get feedback.
Yeah, they don't have a choice. I mean, at the end of the day,
yeah, but so do sales and marketing don't have a choice either. But, I know, but whether here they we are.
I'm happy to be one of those assholes that stands on stage in our community, and other space that I do it anyway, and go, hey, we need to. I had a really good conversation with the CISO CX, CCO XE folks. I'm actually giving another talk out there in September.
Nice.
I'm happy to stand on stage and go, I'm giving you 5 bits of feedback that you will give to salespeople. P.S. You will actually start to be more efficient in how you do it. Because we can't keep throwing the rock over and saying it's your fault, you fix it. We just can't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've done that. And that's, I think, part of the problem with security. Security itself has blamed everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, when security first started, we blamed the users. Users click shit, terrible, should never allow them anywhere near a computer. Then we blamed the network people because, well, the network people shouldn't be allowed to connect shit to the network. We blamed DBAs because, well, they smell and they sit in a corner and they're all strange anyway. We blamed the CFO because they didn't give us enough money. We blamed the CEO because, well, they click shit and they don't do it and they don't listen to us. We blamed the board because they don't listen to us. Now we blame everybody else in the industry because, well, they don't support us. What we've rarely done is taken a step back and look in the mirror and go, what are we doing wrong?
Right.
How are we ineffectively communicating? Mm-hmm. How are we ineffectively collaborating?
Mm-hmm.
So rarely have we done that. And I think that's one of the biggest things in our own industry that we need to sit down. I mean, there's some amazing people out there who are doing that, but there's some absolute assholes out there who aren't. And some of them won't change. Welcome to narcissism. Some of them will take it on board, and maybe, especially if you give them something that they can use. If you tell people you must change and you must give feedback, they won't do it. But if you give people a tool to use to be more effective in their feedback, I think that's where they'll, that's where I think we'll see success.
I think it goes both ways. I mean, the vendor side, the marketing, sales, product, founder, CEO side have some looking in the mirror to do as well.
100%. I think we all
do. Yeah, we all do as an industry.
Yeah. But I think the other thing is, and this was my challenge back to Merlin, you know, and I'm like, you know, you're supporting companies that are building a niche product that, quite honestly, you should tell the founders of those companies to shut the fucking company down and go work with other people in the industry. Y'all can't be multimillionaires. Some of you are just going to have to accept the fact you're on a decent salary and work with other people and build their product more efficiently and effectively.
You know, it would be fun is to put this CISO response outreach automated in an outreach tool.
Awesome.
And then, you know, put the rules on if they answer.
Generative intelligence, we could build a generative intelligence engine that does an autonomous response.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Would
it solve the problem? Maybe, hopefully. I don't know. Ed, this is fun.
That might up the game. Now you'll have marketing AI versus CISO AI, and that ain't gonna end well for anybody. That just won't get pretty.
My gosh, that's hilarious. All right, well, we're headed towards the end of the session. Last thoughts, anything you want to impart on the audience before we sign off?
I think two things. One, and we talked about it a little bit, stop with the absolutes. Mm. You know, when you come at me and you say, hey, I have a solution. I have an ending of all your problems. Thou can't put those feet up and relax and quit it. All you are, and hopefully just working a few people, and God, I hope people actually watch this fucking video. Hopefully helping people understand, even just on that simple spreadsheet, all you are doing is influencing four or five or maybe six areas in here. You are moving the needle. You are helping me move from maybe a 1.5 to a 2.5 or 1.5 to a 2. You're not solving. You are not removing headaches. You are helping me move the needle. You're helping me reduce probability of an incident. You're helping me increase probability of being able to recover. That's all you are doing. Mm-hmm. And so go into the conversation that way. You're not the fucking savior. You are not coming in on a knight on a shining armor. You're not coming in to absolve me of all of my issues and challenges. All you're doing is help me move the needle in four or five fucking squares on my spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. End of conversation. Mm-hmm. If you can come at it like that and put a level of realism back in that conversation, the chances are you will be listened to.
Love it. Love it. Echoing all of that, plus what we just talked about.
That needs to be a LinkedIn post. Sorry, that might be a LinkedIn post tomorrow. Yeah.
Take a look in the mirror. Do you understand where you need to improve? What needs to improve? Challenge the status quo. How do we do that? Do we have the resources to do that? Do I have the resources and time to do that? What do I need to do to get to a 3 myself before I can even engage with the CISO to understand where they are in their maturity roadmap? So this is stuff that I've learned through Dimitri, through the CISO Valid Distillery, which was super, super helpful for me and for some of the cohort who is actually listening in. I love this. This is good stuff. We should definitely noodle on this more. We should talk about CISO AI and automation and outreach. I think that's brilliant, by the way. Really good stuff. Happy to develop some of that and noodle on it at Black Hat, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, I think that should be kind of fun to do. I think that would actually be a ton of fun, even if we just come up with some generic answers. I mean, shit, generative AI on that would be absolutely hilarious. A little scary as well, but I think it would be. I think if we could hand leadership something that helps. Yeah, we'll see. I like the idea. Let's
Yep.
noodle on it.
Good stuff. All right, folks. Thank you for listening today. This has been another episode of Audience First. It is an audience versus. What the fuck did I just read? You see? It's just natural. It's
It's
both.
both. It's both. Let's face
Powered
it.
by
It's both.
Audience First. WTF.
There we go.
Powered by Audience First. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and joining the conversation. Chris, you rock. We'll see each other very soon in
You
3 weeks.
too. Thank you. Yeah, totally. All right. Everybody stay safe, travel well, and we'll see a bunch of folks at a
All
summer camp.
righty. We are out.